Congregation, the text for this morning is from Hosea 11, verse 8, and the wider context. Hosea 11, verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me, my repentings are kindled together. So far. God's faithfulness to his people. Three thoughts. His past goodness. Secondly, his present compassion. And in the third place, his future grace. God's faithfulness to his people, his past goodness, especially the first part of this chapter, past goodness. Secondly, present compassion, our text. How shall I make thee as Admah and Zeboim? My heart is turned within me, my repentings kindled together. And then future grace. Look at verse 9 and 10. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion, and he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. Congregation, young people, let us first look at the picture. Someone wants a child. Someone has a desire to have a son and wants to adopt one. And he goes to different places looking, orphanages, and he sees a child, not so beautiful, not so smart, not so healthy, not so special at all, kind of resisting it, and his eye falls on the child, and he has chosen that child, and he takes that child home. He has elected that child in spite of its unworthiness and ugliness and less gifts than others. He takes it home, and at home he raises itself with so much love. For example, he feeds it. He goes on his knees and feeds the child. Or he uses straps to protect the child and his two arms to lift up the child and teach the child to walk. He also lifts up the child to his cheek and is giving tender love. Oh, this father is a tender father. But this child is so stubborn. This child is not listening. This child is so unthankful. This child rebels against his father. In spite of all the goodness, all the past goodness, he resists it. He doesn't like it. He disobeys. He is contrary to his father's will. And his father gets angry and sends him away to another place. Doesn't want him anymore. But yet at a certain time he may come back home, and he brings him back home, and he comes trembling and fearful. But is the father still the same for him? See that? Beginning of the chapter. It's all in there. When Israel was a child in Egypt, the land of Goshen, and I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed the Baal and burnt incense, the graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. But they knew not that I healed them. I drew the cords of a man, the bands of love. I was to them as they that take of the yoke of the jaws. It probably means lifting it up, cheek to cheek. And laid meat unto them, fed them on my knees. So that is Israel, right? The people of Israel. But also God's people. Also God's people among us today. The Lord has chosen them. As a child, not the best ones, not the good ones, but the bad ones, in his free and eternal choice, in his sovereignty, he called them out of Egypt, out of the miry clay, out of the slavery of sin, out of the house of bondage. Has been so good, remember, that he called so powerfully and drew people out of the darkness to his marvelous light, his work, his goodness. Oh, the Lord taught his people to go. He lifted them up. He fed them through his word and through his spirit, so kind and so compassionate, so lovingly. As the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Lord spoke to the hearts in a loving way, in a tender way, and the Lord Jesus came down for them to feed them with his flesh, to nourish them, condescending love of the Father, of the Son, to feed his people in spite of their sins. Oh, he gave them his gospel, he gave them the sacraments, he spoke words of encouragement. You're mine, you're my people, you're my son, I love you with an eternal love. And in spite of all that, God's people are not so good at all. As they called them, so they went from them. The more the Lord called, the more they left. Rebellion also among God's people. The Bible is filled with that. Leaving their first love, right? The time of tenderness, leaving it alone. Turning their backs on the Lord again. Sometimes so fearful, so unbelieving, so self-confident. So it's such a lack of prayer. Very painful for a father. Very painful for the Lord, to the Lord as well. That his people has been so privileged, that he has been so good to them. And this is the consequence, this is what follows. How sad it is. Past goodness. The Lord reminds us this day of his past goodness, of the time that he drew people out of the darkness, that he began the work of salvation. When Israel was a child, and I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. Remember? He called out of Egypt. He drew you. You couldn't live the same way anymore. You had to leave your friends behind. You couldn't go to those places anymore. He called you as a child, and he taught you to go. The Lord came down so close to you and fed you with his word and spirit. You remember those times the Lord spoke so powerfully, so sweetly, so clearly to the heart. I'm your salvation. Or times of happiness, humble happiness. But then, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to Balaam, burnt incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their hands, with arms, but they knew not that I healed them. They knew not that I healed them. They didn't recognize this. They forgot. It didn't sink in, and they forgot the Lord. In spite of so much goodness. Reasons to humble ourselves for. To come on our knees and say, Lord, that has been so good. At the table, the Lord expresses this. I have been good to you. I'm still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But communicants, people of the Lord, be reminded of the first love. The Lord has begun the good work in our heart. He'll finish it also. Bring to the second thought, present compassion. In our chapter, this father is speaking to himself. What shall I do? What shall I do with this child? What can I do about this? It's so stubborn, so difficult, so contrary. I don't know anymore what to do. I'm at my wit's end. What do I do in this chapter? What shall I do? How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Sending it away to Babylon, sending it away into captivity, and then to know the Lord's, with the Lord's, how disappointed the Lord is. But then the Lord speaks to himself, and the Lord says, the father says, I cannot do it. I can't let him go. I have to be mindful of my covenant. How shall I give thee up? How shall I deliver thee? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? How the Lord turned those places upside down? So it was not only Sodom, not only Gomorrah, also Esma, very close by, and Zeboim, very close by. The Lord turned them around. I can't do this to you. I can't. How shall I make thee as Esma? How shall I say thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. I cannot do it. My repentings are kindled together. My compassion is stronger than my passion. Oh, that fierce anger of the Lord. Difficult word. I hope you can handle that. Anthropomorphism. What is that? That something is written as if it's human. The Lord did not do this. The Lord did not talk to himself. The Lord did not try to make up his mind. He knew already before in eternity what he would do. But this is humanly speaking. But the Lord thought, what shall I do? My repentings are kindled together. I can't. To make it clear to us also this morning hour, the Lord cannot forget his people. He cannot. They deserve it, and they feel it this morning. The Lord could say, it's over. Not anymore. You made it too bad. You crossed the border. I can't be gracious to you anymore. I let you go. I forsake you. The Lord could say that to his people. Many reasons to do it for. And the Lord says, but I can't. I cannot. My repentings are kindled together. My heart is turned around. I cannot. Why not? Why can't the Lord do this? They deserve it. Oh, that fierce anger is real. But in spite of the feasting, the Lord says, I cannot forsake you, my people. I'm faithful to my own work. Why not? A few reasons. What about election? The Lord has chosen his people to save it from God's wrath. And the Lord does not forget his election. The names in the book of life, right? That other book, the book of life, the names are in there, and the Lord cannot erase those names. He cannot say, I made a mistake. I'm just taking them out. He cannot. Christ received them out of the hand of his Father. Christ received as a gift, as his bride. How could he possibly forsake his church, receive from the Father them thou hast given me? For he loves them with an eternal love. He cannot let them go anymore because there is received of his Father's gift. Why not? He paid the price. He obeyed for them his whole entire life. He obeyed the law. Here I am, to thy will, O God. He pleased the Father on their behalf in actual obedience. He cannot let them go. He paid the price of his blood. He suffered. He died on the cross. It's finished, he said. And yet his entire church in mind, how can someone lose salvation if he's paid for? Mine heart is stirred within me. It's stirred and turned, and it is in God's heart that love. He cannot do it. He loves the church too much for that. He cannot let him go anymore. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. Why not? Did you see that as precious in verse 9, the end? For, that's the reason, for I am God and not man. If you were human, you'd be so disappointed, you would say, I can't do it anymore. I have to let go. I've been so good, I'm so hurt, I'm so grieved, I'm so disappointed, I cut it off, this child. I have been so good, and this is unheard of. But he is God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. That holy is often used in the sense of different, right? And so the Lord says, I am not man, I'm not human, I'm different, I'm unique, I'm the only one that can do this. I'm God himself, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. May that be our comfort this morning. You sit in the pew saying, I've attended before, maybe, but I can't attend anymore because of my sins. It's impossible. I have to remain seated now. I've sinned too much. It's too much. I can't believe that the Lord would be gracious to such a wretch like me. He's God. Not man, the Holy One in our midst this morning. And he said, but I can save a people from their sins. I'm God after all, and not man, the Holy One, unique one. People stand in awe. That's right, rightly so. So still invite to the table prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. In spite of all their folly and all their foolishness, although they did not fight into blood, had weaknesses, fell into sins, the Lord says, I could let you go, but I can't let you go. It's the feast of my anger, but I'm the Holy One. My heart is turned, and my repentings are kindled together. Let me show this same theme from other chapters, other Bible verses. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I could consume you, but I can't, because I am the Lord, and I change not. I do not change. You change a lot. I don't, the Lord says. There is a table here. For a people that change all the time, the Lord says, you change. I don't. I'm God, not man. Or think of Romans 11. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The Lord does not repent, does not say, well, I changed my mind. The calling and the gifts of God are without repentance. The faithful Lord. So past goodness, present compassion, and future grace, the third point. What now? They shall walk after the Lord. Verse 10. He shall roar like a lion and speak loudly and with authority. And when he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west, from the seaside. They shall tremble and come. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, as a dove out of the land of Assyria. They will place them in their houses, say the Lord. They may come back. They were in captivity out of the country. I will place in their house. They may come back. But how? Walking after the Lord, closer to him, and trembling. Sometimes birds are very tired. Out of Egypt, hundreds of kilometers, and they come in flocks, and they fall on the ground, and they can't fly anymore, trembling, shivering, exhausted. And so the Lord has an exhausted people. They come trembling. They can't fly anymore. They're so weak. And the Lord says, that's how I teach you to be humble to the dust, so I receive all the honor and the glory. So the Lord says at the table, I have been good to you. And I'm still the same. I will take care of you for the future. All of that together. Like it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Those are the three points, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God that he is that faithful God, the same God. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, the same also for the future. So try to absorb that, child of the Lord, his past goodness. Sit at the table and consider his past goodness, his present compassion, and his future grace, and enjoy it. And when you eat the bread, or let me say, when you receive the bread in my hands, receive it spiritually as well. Say, Lord, oh, may I receive it and accept it. And eat it and be united with it, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the purpose. That at the same time that God's children eat bread, that they eat Christ, his flesh, and drink his blood, unite with that and give honor and glory to the Lord. One more word, and then we will sing and read this to the form, Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. Oh, may that be the joy at the table. Beside me there is no God. Amen.